When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hey! Please have a seat, everybody. Lovely to be here. Welcome down here, up there, everybody out there watching around the world. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, we are back, my friends. We were on a break for 2 weeks, and thank you for noticing my tan. And this is as tan as I get. I went from porcelain to poached chicken breast. But not everyone's missed that. Not everyone's having fun in the sun because a sweltering heat wave is sweeping across Europe. And this is a nightmare for Europeans, okay? They don't have a lot of air conditioning in their homes over there. And how can they possibly cool off? Those swimsuits can't get any smaller. Across that continent, European countries are facing weather they've never seen before. In France, temperatures are expected to top 104 degrees, and authorities are warning of a heat apocalypse. In response, the French government is reminding all mimes to crack a window in their invisible boxes. It's not just France. Britain is on course for its hottest day on record. To stay cool, the guards at Buckingham Palace have waxed their hats. Very painful. That's very painful. The heat is so intense that at farms across Europe, in order to stay hydrated, chickens are on sports drink, leading Gatorade to update their slogan from, "Is it in you?" to, "Bark, bark, bark." You know, just a stupid thing to say. You know who else is feeling the heat lately? Former President Jabba the Putz. Now, while we were gone, the January 6th committee held another hearing, and the biggest bombshell came from Representative Liz Cheney.
After our last hearing, President Trump tried to call a witness in our investigation, a witness you have not yet seen in these hearings. That person declined to answer or respond to President Trump's call and instead alerted their lawyer to the call.
He's trying to commit witness tampering using his own phone. You can see the whole story in the new mob film, Not Very Good at This, Fellas. Get your shine box. Go get your shine box. We'll find out about all of this soon because the committee's next hearing is this Thursday in prime time, okay? That's going to drive tune in, okay, being in prime time and get even more people to watch. They're holding it on F-Boy Island. The hearing will be led in part by committee member Adam Kinzinger, who says that it will open people's eyes in a big way. And from the looks of it, it's already working. Now, this could or should be a pretty big night, which is why on Thursday, The Late Show will be live and sleep-deprived. Check it out, y'all. Who's our guest? We don't know. We don't know who the guest is. Now, they may be talking about this other thing that sounds kind of suspicious, the hearings. Evidently, the committee learned last week that the Secret Service erased text messages from January 5th and January 6th after oversight officials asked them for it. The agency says there's nothing sinister going on here, but their story about this deletion has shifted several times. First, blaming on their device replacement program, then on a pre-planned system migration. Then they said the dog ate our phones. Our phones are going through a tunnel. And finally, new phone, who dis?
Who's the guest? We don't know.
Now, no one knows what's in these secret texts. They could corroborate Cassidy Hutchinson's story that on January 6th, the former president tried to choke an agent after the agent refused to drive him back up to the Capitol. But we should find out soon, because the committee has subpoenaed the texts, which are now being reconstructed, and the committee members expect to receive the missing Secret Service texts by tomorrow. With any luck, one of the agents texted a selfie. Now, switching... It's an old joke. That's an old one. Switching over to the guy who actually won the election, President Biden was on a trip to the Middle East last week where he had a bit of a controversial meeting with Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, seen here saying, "No, you drink your tea first." This was always going to be a touchy trip because the Crown Prince is infamously, and I'm putting it delicately here, a murderer. But on the other hand, gas is $5 a gallon, so... Nah. So it was important that Biden put a lot of thought into how he would greet MBS. This was the decision. Okay, he gets out of the car, approaching Mr. Bonesaw, and boom, go the ethics. Can we see that from another angle, Jim? Okay, bang. There it is. Maybe that's not a fist bump. Maybe it's 79. That's as hard as Joe can punch. Throw them dukes up, Mohammed bin Jack Ben. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here comes Scranton. Here we go. Watch this one. Here it comes. Here we go. Where's it coming from? Where's it going? And, you blocked me. The guy's fast. Okay. I hope they have some air conditioning over there because his bones are made of peanut brittle. Okay, I know I've made a lot of jokes about Joe being old, but in my defense, since I made those jokes, he has gotten even older. That's on him. That's not me. There is something older than Joe Biden. It's the universe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lampley. We have been getting the first images from NASA's groundbreaking James Webb Telescope, and they are breathtaking. Here's the Webb Telescope's image of the Carina Nebula, also known as God's screensaver. We've never seen space in this much detail. Just look at it next to the same image taken by the Hubble Telescope. Okay, that's Hubble above, Webb below. Okay, that's a glow-up. It's amazing what technology can do. For comparison, here's a regular picture of me. Here's a picture of me taken by the Webb Telescope. That's what I look like in real life. These cameras, they don't have the resolution to capture that. These aren't just pretty pictures, though. They reveal previously unknown things about the universe. For instance, everything that's not sparkling in this picture is an entire galaxy. We're just one planet in one solar system in one galaxy. Makes you kind of feel small and insignificant. My advice, buy a boat. Then go fishing by yourself. Hey. Of course. Of course, I've saved the most dramatic news for last. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck got married. Yes! Oh, hell yes! Yeah. Love is real. If they can make it work, there's hope for every attractive millionaire celebrity couple with a skincare line. And as I'm sure you know, the two were engaged many years ago, but now they've made it official. It's Bennifer againifer. Or as I prefer, Bennifer 2, Genflectric Boogaflec. And they didn't need some big splashy wedding. They did it their way by marrying quietly in Las Vegas. It was very intimate. In fact, Ben did all the catering. Jen explained just how normal their Vegas wedding was, saying, "We stood in line for a license with four other couples." Can you imagine being one of those other couples? The chapel was really nice, but their Elvis impersonator looked like Ben Affleck. Ben's good buddy Matt Damon wasn't able to be at the ceremony, but he did send an inspirational wedding toast on video.
Fortune favors
your marriage.
We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Billy Crystal.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world...
It's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is... Thank you very much. Save it for the guest, please. My first guest tonight is a comedy legend, a giant you know from When Harry Met Sally, 700 Sundays, and as the 9-time host of the Academy Awards. He now stars on Broadway in Mr. Saturday Night. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Billy Crystal!
Thank you, thank you. Fantastic.
The people are very excited. Good to see you again.
Great to see you.
Now, congratulations on Mr. Saturday Night. I mean, 5 Tony nominations, including Best Musical. How does it feel? How did it feel after COVID to be back on stage live in front of the people that you love so much?
Well, it was crazy because, like, what you have with the masks on everybody, it looked like a Howard the Duck convention in the beginning. Everyone with a white mask, but it is what it is, and we've gotten through it. It was great.
And now it's masks are optional on Broadway. Which so you was, can see some of their faces. You can tell if they're grinning.
Yeah, but first of all, it was louder. Because you could really hear the laughs without the masks on. I was like, "Whoa, what was that? Did someone turn it up?" It was just, you realize...
Am I that good tonight?
Yeah, we got used to the fact that the people aren't from masks. So the first night, mask was optional. Well, you saw the show, so my opening number...
Yeah.
I come out and I'm talking to... I'm playing this character named Buddy Young Jr., and he's playing at a retirement home, and it's all... Everyone is really a senior citizen. And there's a guy in the front row, and I'm 5 feet from him, and he doesn't have a mask on. And I do my first joke, and I'm 5 feet from him, and he looks up and he goes, So I said, I backed off, and then I finally got off stage, I went right to the stage manager and I said, a guy in the front row said that we got to get a mask on him, and then we did. Yeah, but it's a little disarming.
I'm looking forward to. We still have masks here. We're still trying to look what with the BA5 or whatever they're naming the new one. So we're being a little cautious here. I can't wait to be able to see their faces again because there is no greater audience in the world than the audience of the Ed Sullivan Theater. Right?
No, it's true.
And that's only as a segue. I'm only pandering. Thank you. You've done your job. I'm only pandering that hard as a segue because, as we've talked before, you made your network debut on this stage for the Howard Cosell show, which was actually shot at this theater in 75.
Right over there. Howard Cosell had it was called Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell. You all remember him, of course? Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir. The great.
Yeah, and he was a bombastic sports announcer And he was an outspoken guy who I think his voice we miss. And
well, in the musical, Mr. Saturday Night, as Buddy Young, you also do impressions, which is an interesting double gainer for you to do.
Yeah.
But do you still do a Cosell?
Well, If I did, Howard, there were great voices in the 70s. When I first started as a comedian in, like, 73, there was I did Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. And when I started to do Ali, I didn't really start to do Ali. I started to do Brando as Vito Corleone. Awesome. And it did. I did. I hit like a roadblock, and I went to the right. It was like, Michael, I never wanted this for you. I wanted you to be Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone, or the greatest fighter of all time. Then I said, I heard Ali, and it was just a thing.
Sure. Little knob time.
Yeah, but Howard was just, you know, I'm nasally, so I could get into him and get into that kind of rhythm that he had. And I thought if he was working today, he'd be covering the January 6th committee hearings.
If only.
We just heard from Cassidy Hutchinson right there. This may be the first time the Secret Service wrestled the president to the ground to keep us safe from him. So, it made fun. Timeless.
Grace. Timeless. Great voices from the 70s. What other great voices from the 70s?
Oh, well, this was another great voice. And this is guys I used to do, but now you can re-plug them in, and they're suddenly apropos. The Mueller report. When you saw Mueller before the report, with that jaw that he had, that look that he had, he was like out of a 40s movie where he'd be the warden in the prison, you know, fry him, we're gonna fry him. Instead, it was bad. It was like boring.
He was dead. It was just like a fish.
Peter Falk as Columbo would have been a great interviewer of all of those dopes that we were interviewing, you know?
Mr. Manafort, I just don't understand, Mr. Manafort. You know, you're fooling around with all of these oligarchs, I just don't. And Mr. Kushner, why are you so pale? You're just very pale. It just, I don't get it.
Yeah, so you fool around with these kind of guys.
Where'd you get those shoes? My wife would love me to have those shoes. One thing I missed from the 70s that I wish there were consequences for things. We had Woodward and Bernstein on the other night, and that's what they were talking about. There were consequences back in the 70s.
Yeah, and I watched that show. I thought it was a brilliant show.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm huge fans of those, of both of them, and of course you. So now I'm pandering. And I had a meeting with Bob Woodward about 4 years ago at a retreat. Jeff Bezos did a retreat. And I had like a 40-minute meeting with him, breakfast, and it was amazing. Then watching him on the show, like Ali became, you know, came from Vito Corleone. This guy comes from Carol Channing. There's a...
Bob Woodward comes from Carol Channing.
Yeah, because when you try to do Bob Woodward, you hear it, and it's very slow, and... And he's got this rather large mouth. And when he talks about Nixon and Trump, it's very interesting to see the difference between the two of them. Nixon, Richard Nixon was crazy. Donald Trump is really crazy. So that's just pretty good.
Well, where's the Carol Channing?
Carol Channing would be talking like that. You know, she'd have me talking like that. So I just found that as your voice gets a little deeper and you can be the haltingly putting you to sleep Bob Woodward.
How would Bob Woodward say diamonds are a girl's best friend?
a kiss on the hand may be consequential, but a deep throat was a man's best friend. Pretty good.
He's pretty good. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I will ask Billy how he fell in love with comedy.
Hey, Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Buddy Young. I mean, I've been a big fan, for the people who don't particularly know, is that Mr. Saturday Night is actually a musical adaptation of your 1992 movie of the same name, Buddy Young, without David Paymer, who also plays your brother. I love seeing him on stage.
We're old shoes together.
And tell the people who Buddy Young Jr. is, because I love Buddy Young. He was part of your act that wasn't before he actually had his own narrative. He was a character.
He was sort of an insult comic who was a star in the 50s and gets a chance for redemption for his career, which was he was a terrorist of his own doing. He's one of those guys who could blow up a bridge while he's standing on it. You know, he always got in his own way. Mm-hmm. But he was very funny, and he had this machine-like thing about him, and I loved him. He was sort of like Willie Loman with laughs to me. He was a lonely kind of guy, but I love guys who are flawed, and that's why I wanted to play him. And then when we did the movie 31 years ago, I was 43, and we needed 5 or 6 hours of makeup so I could play him at the right age. Now I just show up. He's just so fascinating and just so funny and so.
Did you have much exposure to like Borscht Belt kind of comedians when you were younger? Did you?
Yeah, well, mostly I didn't know them until later, but I'd watch them on the Ed Sullivan Show right from this stage again, It was Alan King and it was Buddy Hackett and it was all of these amazingly funny guys. They're like, their timing is incredible. And we sort of pay tribute to that in the show as well.
Did you get to hang out with like people like Hackett or Phil Silvers or Sid Caesar?
Sid came late in my life, and it was the greatest feeling. That's how I started, wanting to be funny. I mean, what inspired you? That's when you were a kid, right?
Yeah. I would listen to albums going to bed.
Right. So I was 5 years old, and television was the new frontier in the early 50s, and the comedians settled it. It was Sid. Yeah. It was George Burns. It was Jack Benny, Phil Silvers, the great Steve Allen, who was the first host of The Tonight Show. And that's so... I remember being 5 and watching on our black and white set Show of Shows with Sid Caesar. So The King and I was the best movie that year, right? And it starred Yul Brynner. So they do a King and I takeoff, and it's the palace set, and in comes Sid, and he's in the bald wig and the capri pants, and he's barefoot. And he strikes the pose... And then he suddenly grabs his foot and he goes, "Who's smoking in the palace? There's no smoking in the palace." And I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I was 5, and my dad, rest his soul, would let us stay up to watch the great funny people. And that's what I did from 5 to like 7, was grab my bare foot and go, "Who's smoking in the palace?" We'd go to the beach out in Long Beach where I grew up, and if it was a hot day, I'd get 5 years old, my bathing suit. "Oh, who's smoking in the palace?" I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And then as time went on, I grew to love what they did and the voices behind it, which was Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, Howie Morris, Imogene Coca.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and Woody Allen eventually. Mm-hmm. And then when Sid was my Mickey Mantle, besides Mickey Mantle. And when I was doing 700 Sundays on Broadway, there was only one time I was nervous, when I knew that Mel was in the audience. And Mel and his late amazing wife, Anne Bancroft, come backstage. And the first thing he said to me was, "Sid has got to see this. Sid has got to..." And it just melted me. Mm-hmm. So we finish our run. We go on the road, and we finish in Los Angeles. And I get a message that Sid Caesar wants to see the show. So we found a special place for him. He was wheelchair-bound at that point. And I knew he was in the audience. I could see him from the stage. And we had changed places. He was watching me. And when I came backstage, I just lost it. I just lost it and hugged him so hard and said, thank you, because without you, I'm not doing this right now, you know?
Well, you've got this great photograph.
Oh, yeah.
This photograph is amazing.
This
is from...
It's from Comic Relief. This is what I look at right before I go on stage every night. This is the cast of your show of shows. And I got to meet them when we did Comic Relief, remember, with Robin and Whoopi. And this is what I look at every night before I go out. I had a chance to greet them and be part of the cast.
Carl Reiner, Imogene Coca.
Howie Morris.
Harry Morris, right there.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Look at that kid.
I remember him.
Look at that kid. Now, you have one of the nice things about, being in show business and being invited to see a play that a friend of yours in show business is in is you get really good seats. And so I was in a really nice box up, down stage left up there. But the thing is that I could see right into the wings, and I try not to because I want to see the show like everybody else.
Right.
But there's a moment in the show where I couldn't take my eyes off of you, and it's one of the last moments in the show because I went, Jesus, that's a big costume change. I'm like, am I seeing Billy Crystal buck naked? I wasn't sure what was going on.
Sort of. It's towards the end of the show. I have like five or six very fast changes.
Right.
The part's exhausting enough, but I have this last change from a suit of clothes. He's performing once again in front of a retirement home.
Yeah, you're in a full suit.
Full suit, and I've got to go into the wings and come back out about 28 seconds later in a totally different look.
And you've brought a clip of you actually making that change backstage, Jim.
Pretty good.
Let's give it up for the crew.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, it's like if I was a NASCAR car, that's, it's a crew changing
me.
Yeah, that's a big pit stop.
Well, Billy, thank you for being here. Lovely to see you.
Great to see you.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.